And we are live across 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 platforms right now. If you want to call in, guys, we're over on the Podbean audio only that allows you to call in. We usually take them towards the end of the show. If you're watching on YouTube, I warn you, there's a lot of stories that we can't talk about, nor show you the video of here. Okay.
Spicy.
Yeah, a little too spicy. And plus, I hate putting kids that are being abused on video. Yeah,
putting that up and like sharing pictures of them being exploited.
I hate that, man. Like even last week when we had the uncensored portion of the broadcast and we were showing stuff from Des Moines, Iowa, right? And then the kid on stage with these people, I didn't love it. You know, I didn't love showing the classroom, but people have to realize this is really going on. And, you know, it's not going to lick itself. It's definitely going to come into play later on. But that's going to be for the uncensored part of the broadcast. There's also an Israeli news story that we just can't talk about here. I don't even want to put it on screen. But the big thing that I want to talk about with my man John Fitch is Bilderberg 2022 has now come and gone.
Bilderberg.
Nobody talked about it.
Good old Bilderberg, the event that didn't exist for a long time, and then now they just blatantly talk about it and pretend, it's just all good. It's all fun. We're just talking about fun stuff.
Well, this year, nobody talked about it. I didn't know when it was. I'd been checking on air every day. I think we might have even checked on air last week, right? Because I've been talking about it has to be coming up. Mm-hmm. And it was in D.C. Had I known last week, I would have gone, obviously. I would have made the plans to go. And they kept it completely under wraps until the day of. As far as I know, and we'll check right now live, the only mainstream media story, and it's an excellent one, it's by my good friend Charlie Skelton. He's going to be coming on broadcast. Sorry about that, guys. He's going to be coming on the broadcast tomorrow. But he actually made me laugh in it, which is hard when it's this kind of subject matter. But let's do it live. Let's just type in Bilderberg and see what kind of press actually covered it and what they did. We know the Gateway Pundit did an article and actually linked to my film, which we thank them for. So here we are. We've typed it in. Bilderberg. We're in the news section. El Paso Inc., The Guardian. The Morning Star, okay? The Australian has now covered it, and that's it. That's it. Let me repeat that, okay? So, not even the Daily Mail, okay? No MSNBC, obviously, CNN, Fox News. Forget about any not one United States outlet covered this in the news this year at all. They had security. It was in the middle of D.C. It was at the Mandarin Hotel. That was kept a secret, even on the website. People actually had to go down there and make calls. Participants this year, John, included the CEO of Pfizer, the head of NATO, many, 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 many AI, artificial intelligence representatives, Palantir, we're going to be getting into that. Alex Karp actually met with Zelensky just before this. To Charlie Skelton's credit, he actually points this out. And Palantir is really a Peter Thiel creation. Thiel also here. Ann Applebaum of The Atlantic, representatives from The Economist. Okay, there you go. Your CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, who just spent 33 minutes on a couch with Klaus Schwab the week before over at the World Economic Forum. The head of the CIA, William J. Burns. Wow. I want people to understand. These are the minions of the predator class that are meeting in secret with no media coverage whatsoever. So here's my question to you, John. It's great that we had a lot of people this year wake up to the idea that globalization maybe isn't so great, that the Great Reset is a real thing, and that Davos isn't the best thing since breakfast. Those are all good things, correct?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are starting to realize that we need to focus more internally on our own issues.
But at the same time, we don't have one real media outlet, in the mainstream, that's covering this.
No.
There's no outcry amongst those people that are talking about these issues now. And I would say the alternative media, myself included, really did not do the job we should have to at least find out where this was and make a big deal of it. You see this.
There's a probably good reason for that, I think, because a lot of the alternative media, unfortunately, is driven by the clicks and what people want to watch. And the gun control issues, the trans issues, a lot of those things are just hotter topics to cover right now than, you know, oligarchs sneaking away to have their little secret meeting.
Well, I think that one, you're kind of right, right? But I think the other thing is they kept it so tight to their chest, they weren't able to. Because I believe if like Jones got a hold of...
There's a lot going on. They've been pretty good at keeping people distracted and confused. And there's no like one story to focus on. There's always a million things bombarding you.
Well, absolutely.
You have a strong opinion on.
But at the same time, like, first of all, I think there is some ignorance out there, right? People don't understand it. And props to Luke for going down. Yeah, he went down.
People still don't get it.
Yeah. So. And props to Max Blumenthal. But at the same time, you know, we have to understand that this is the power structure. Those issues are important, but these are the people that are driving those issues. You talk about, for instance, gun control, right? One of the things that I featured here is that they had this woman, who's kind of like, I don't know much about her. They're trying to call her a moderate. I don't know whether or not she is. Kristen Sinema. But she's about to meet with four other senators on the gun talks you just discussed. And we do see what the push is in Canada. It's the real deal. They don't even want you to have handguns. And now you have a senile old man who's nothing but a front for this. Okay, John? Sitting there talking about high caliber weapons and how they need to leave. So I think that, again, this was the issue. I think that if Jones
We need to disarm Americans, but we need to send those guns to Ukraine.
And we need to arm them with our intelligence forces, privatized and otherwise, right? I mean, that's what Palantir is. In fact, we'll bring that up. But, you know, this is the funny thing. It's supposed to be an informal meeting, right? But at the same time, and I love how this was pointed out by Charlie Skelton. He did a really good job of pointing this out. Where are you, Mr. Skelton? Where did I put all those? Right here. Yes, right here. So, first of all, you know, independent journalists doing this their thing. This is Doffner. He is one of the CEOs, and he's a steering committee member, right? Obviously, you know, he's here for the coffee. But then you have, okay, it's great. According to Bilderberg, participants take part as individuals rather than an official capacity. In which case, what's going on here? I guess it's just some bloke chatting to a random woman in a hotel garden. Just a pair of individuals having a natter about nothing. And this is Jens Stoltenberg. This is the NATO chief on the Ukraine war. Okay, saying that we're in it for the long haul on his own blue check mark Twitter, saying, great to meet with Prime Minister Marina Sanna of our close partner Finland in Washington. We discussed the need to address Turkey's concerns and move forward with the NATO membership application by Finland and Sweden. How is that not official capacity? He's admitting, and by the way, this guy is reporting on himself more than the mainstream media. That's insanity. I mean, right now, think about that, John. This should just shows how the game is rigged. All over the place.
Just the way that they slide all this stuff into it. It's gross. Like, there's fundraising at my kid's school for Ukraine. There's sliding things in, like, from companies that you normally buy stuff from, sliding in, this is going to be extra whatever you put in to support Ukraine. Like, it's everywhere. Well, it's like, I don't want to support either side. I don't think either side is good. I don't think either side is doing the right thing. Can we just focus on the problems we have here? Can we make sure we don't have homeless people like in our neighborhood and we got to spend extra money on our HOA because we had to put up video cameras because of the homeless people destroying property and shit? Can we do something about that?
No, dude, don't you understand what this is about? Let's look at the agenda, by the way, John. So they put out a public agenda. You know, we discussed how they talked about the post-truth world in 2018's conference, the first time they've met since the pandemic. So the ones that are probably the most concerning to me, because Russia, China, and Ukraine are all on the list, John, are continuity of government and the economy and disruption of the global financial system. Well, continuity of government is the shadow government, John. Okay, the shadow government. What is the shadow government supposed to have to do with the economy? By the way, disinformation, energy security and sustainability, and post-pandemic health, they're also in there too. Also, fragmentation, John, of democratic societies. Hey, aren't we supposed to be a democratic society now? I know we're a constitutional republic, but when they're talking about fragmentation of democratic societies and the shadow government and the economy as the global financial system is disrupted, what do you think? Do you think they're trying to bring it back for us, or don't you believe this is the push?
No, this is a controlled demolition. It's global finance. It's a controlled demolition. Like they're trying to take control however they can, because they know that America's bankrupt. The world's economy is bankrupt. It's based off the dollar, which is valueless at this point. They just keep printing more, and they keep printing more to fix the problems, and the problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I saw a post the other day talking about, if you sold all of the assets, like all of the assets in America are valued around 200 million or 200 billion or whatever, 200 trillion.
About the thread that Kim.com put up there.
I think it was Kim.com.
He did a great thread, by the way. I read that today, but continue.
Yeah, we've hardly been profitable in the last 60, 70 years at all. And that years of profit weren't enough to cover the debt we're in. So if you liquidated and sold all of the value in America, it wouldn't be enough to pay the debt off. We're a zombie. We're not even about to go bankrupt. We've been bankrupt for years.
Well, check it out. This is 60 Minutes, and this is a video now that I think is about 2 years old. If it's not quite two, it might be a little bit over two. It might have been like February 2020. But this is the head of the Fed saying, we just print digital money as a central bank, and we flood the system with money. And why do you think we have inflation? I just want to say this. I didn't take a dollar from these demons when all this came down. Okay. I didn't go for any programs. I didn't want, you know, unemployment, any kind of extra benefits. You know why? Because I knew what the fuck they were doing. And, you know, I don't want anything from these people. They are going for a UBI slave system. And I knew as they flooded the economy and shut down what? Small business. We had this discussion about
You should take the money, take the money the government gives you and buy crypto.
Except for they crash that market and inflate it sometimes too.
Hold on to it long enough. It's going up. It's going to go back up.
It depends. I'd say this.
It's not going to zero out. What's happening is, we've seen this before. You have Bitcoin, which is the juggernaut. And then you have all the other coins or shit coins. And they get a lot of popularity and buzz around these shit coins. And we've seen it before with Ethereum and IPOs and all this rush up that drove the prices up, and then they crash because ultimately those things aren't Bitcoin. So they're going to go back to zero because Bitcoin is still the juggernaut. And you're seeing that now. You had NFTs and all this other stuff going on. Well, they bottom ran out on those, dropped the price down. Institutional investors helped drop the price down. It's still sitting strong at 30,000, sitting really strong at 30,000. That's a great investment. I bought a Bitcoin at $240 back in 2014. So like, it's not crashed for me. It hasn't crashed for a lot of people. And in the next 5 to 10 years, and that's what you should be looking at this as an investment as, is 5 to 10 year investment. It's going to go up. It's going to go up because everything else is backed by nothing.
I think that I think the problem with that is they're going to push certain blockchain technologies, right? I think that you're right that Bitcoin, Ethereum, some others are a pretty stable investment, right? At the same time, because Ripple exists, aka XRP, and the World Economic Forum has openly discussed them as a viable central bank digital currency, CBDC.
Yes, if they know, that's a problem.
Letting
you know that it's inevitable. That's what's inevitable. They know that they can't not do digital. They can't, like, so they have to create their own to compete, and that's where the competition is going to be. But it's going to be open competition for a little while, because you're going to have people who are informed and don't want centralized control of their money, but then you're going to have the normies who only want to deal with the government issued money.
Well, again,
how long does it take to settle that battle? How long does it take to end that? Because I don't know, man, there's too many people with a lot of money invested in Bitcoin for it to just,
I agree. It's part of the establishment. And I think it's going to be one of those ruling class things, kind of like gold and silver are now, where if you hoard a lot of it, it's going to be extremely beneficial. But as I was saying, when we first started talking about this, pre-pandemic, or when it was just rolling in, I was like, you know, the economy, if they implode that, what they'll do is they'll buy up and consolidate the infrastructure. And that's exactly what they've seen. And the more they do that and they delegitimize the currency and flood it, the more trouble we're going to be in. And that's why, you know, they'll use it as the excuse to move into the digital currency, but they've wanted to do this forever, especially because it's track, trace, database, every single interaction. And eventually, you can give it off a social credit score or even a carbon score. Yep. Now,
easily integratable, because now you know exactly to the Satoshi how much you've spent on carbon or gas or whatever.
Everything is going to be interconnected through this quarter.
It won't be doing it in the right way. It should be like you have, you know, so many soda credits, and you can only have so much soda in a day, and like, you got to walk it off.
I'm not even for that.
Lose your credit.
Listen, we got free will. You want to be a fat fucking slob all your life. I'm serious. Like, I don't want a regimented island style life, but I certainly don't want a digital currency that's just printed up out of nowhere by the military industrial complex and the powers that be, that then degrade the value of the currency I already have. So
people have to understand, it's not just a devaluing currency. It's devaluing your labor. It's making your work, your effort, your sweat, your blood worth less. You're doing it for less per hour because of what they're doing.
I agree. All right, so let's play this right here. This is 60 minutes. This is them openly talking about what they do and where currency comes from. And this should frighten the hell out of everybody.
Fair to say you simply flooded the system with money.
Yes, we did. That's another way to think about it. We did.
Where does it come from? Do you just print it?
We print it digitally. So we, as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally. And we do that by buying treasury bills or bonds or other government guaranteed securities. And that actually increases the money supply. We also print actual currency, and we distribute that through the Federal Reserve banks.
But by law, Chairman Powell's Federal Reserve can only lend money that must be paid back. Congress, he believes, should spend money to expand its historic bailout.
Let's spend the money that we lent you out of thin air through keystrokes. And you wonder why I talk about how all of this leads to what? A transhuman agenda, a digital agenda, a zeros and ones printed out of nowhere agenda, a credit score based on your morality that another class of people, okay, that they've imposed this morality on you, do not have to live by at all. Not even a little bit, folks. As you own nothing, and they control everything, including the evolution of humanity. I mean, I know it sounds dark. I know it sounds sci-fi, but it's as legit as it gets. And I don't know if you've seen this yet today, but New York State has not only introduced, but now passed legislation where they're taking action on gun violence, and they're just going to report hateful content via social media to law enforcement. The whole state. 20 million people, John. Okay? And this is that next step of thought control here at Israel.
Wait. I'm a little lost. They're combating gun violence by reporting hate posts on the internet? Is that what was happening?
In the bill that just passed, everybody. Not only will there be a task force on social media and violent extremism. Okay. It's a it's an office. So now the Attorney General is going to create this office to study and investigate the role of social media companies in promoting and facilitating what? Promoting and facilitating violent extremism and domestic terrorism online, whatever they label. Okay. And then on top of that, we have they have to report it. Okay. Where is it?
So does this mean that they're actually going to like report ISIS accounts on Twitter?
Here it is right here. Reporting hateful social media, okay, requires social media networks to provide and maintain mechanisms for reporting hateful conduct on their platform. Hateful conduct, John. And here's Kelly Hochul today bragging about it. You know, the person that never won an election, everybody.
And in the state of New York, we're now requiring social media networks to monitor and report hateful conduct on their platforms. Thank you, Senator Anna Kaplan, and thank you, Assembly Member Patricia Fahey.
So again,
it's such a feminine position. We have to stop everything that hurts feelings. We can't ever have somebody have hurt feelings again. What kind of people are we to live in this age with hurt feelings? It's just so gross. This isn't kindergarten. We don't live in a kindergarten classroom, people. This needs to stop. I'm so tired of it. Somebody said something mean.
Bro, I mean, think about this. It's beyond that. Now they're criminalizing it, and somebody's going to come to your door, and they're going to selectively enforce that against political enemies.
Search your house, throw you in the camp, get you reeducated.
I mean, if you're even that lucky.
China sounds a little bit like China. China.
I mean, I think again, I can't call these things Chinese style anymore because they're all here. That's in New York right now. That's not just the city. That's the entire state. That's 20 million people. Meanwhile, this is another thing that I do not like. Now, that's associated with the quote-unquote gun violence, right, John? Well, they're calling this thing in Philadelphia on South Street a mass shooting. Guys, it's not a mass shooting at all. Now, there's a video that we'll probably hunt down. I think Andy Ngo posted it online where you can see what starts off as two guys running towards another, a physical assault, and it sprays into a gunfight. Okay?
I saw that little clip. It was... Man, the guy pulled his gun out and they ran up on him with his gun out. Like it was weird.
It's bad. Like they may have.
It was like he had intent from the beginning to shoot the guy, but he was like too afraid to do it. And his friend engaged in fighting the guy until he ended up working up the courage to shoot the guy. That looked like a hit.
It did look like it looked like gang violence, let's be honest, right? And it's not being portrayed as gang violence.
What most mass shootings are gang violence. If you really care about ending mass shootings in America, you would want the police to crack down hard in gangland areas.
So again,
search all homes, search all cars, stop and frisk. If you really cared about children and people getting hurt by gang violence, you would be demanding that.
Well,
stop and frisk.
I think that one, you look at this stuff with the gang violence. I think that first you actually have to prosecute those that are in gangs. A lot of these guys are multiple felons in and out of the system, right? Let's be honest, they're not prosecuted. So first of all, we now have a catch and release program in New York especially, okay? And it's infecting the East Coast. Philadelphia has had its problems. New York has had its problems. DC has had its problems, but it's exploding right now. And now the framework of this headline and how this entire news piece is portrayed is what? Video appears to show moments leading up to South Street mass shooting. Not gun violence hits South Street or gang violence. Yeah, none of that. So let's, and they keep talking about it as a mass.
That's the messaging. They got to push the messaging. That's the big fight. The abortion and the gun stuff, that's the election cycle fight. That's what they got to rile everybody up around. They got to have messaging all on point in the same direction.
Some, you know, sick maniac. I don't know who it was because my back was turned. And start shooting at everybody. Some people made it, some people didn't.
chaos and bloodshed after gunfire erupts on South Street. When it was over, three people were killed, 11 others were wounded. Tonight, we're learning more about the victims as the search for the people involved continues. Sunday night, I'm Walter Perez. The big story on Action News is last night's mass shooting in Philadelphia in one of the city's most popular spots for weekend nightlife.
And look how he's kind of like gleeful about it. I don't like that either.
We got another one.
And it's not a mass shooting. And the other thing is that they're
well,
also
technically the mass shooting is four persons or more.
Yeah, but I think that first of all, it's not one person shooting. It's a gunfight. So it's not just one person shooting. If you listen to it, you can hear different. Here's the thing.
That was my thoughts too. Was my first thing was, well, this is obviously a blue city that has very strict gun laws. So are these guys, one, he said 11 people total, I think, shot.
I think 12 ends up, 12 end up being shot.
So, yeah. Okay. So 12. So if it's a liberal city and he had a legal gun, he's limited to 10 rounds. Well, okay. So did he change his magazine and put in a new one to shoot the next two? That tells me immediately in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, there's more than one gun probably on scene, unless this guy was walking around that long and had time to reload and stuff. I don't think so. So there's probably two guns shooting back and forth at each other.
It might have even been more than two guns if you actually listen to it. And there's a couple.
I mean, just from him saying that there, three dead and 11 shot or 12 shot. That to me, immediately I'm thinking, this guy is an ex-military. He's not going to reload that fast and be able to, squeeze off more rounds. Like, there was more than one gun.
My point is this. When I hear about a quote-unquote mass shooting, you're usually talking about a random attack by one person or a group on a crowd of people somewhere, okay? And that's not what happened. Like, there could have been a mass shooting down in West Virginia had a woman not been armed and shot the person with an AR-15. The other thing that makes me upset is they already have set the framework for the AR-15 in general to be demonized, but now we're talking handguns in mass shootings, and that's a psychological cue.
We heard what Joe Biden was talking about. You know what a 9mm lung or bullet can do to you and blow your lung clean out. Nonsense. These people have absolutely, it's such a frustrating thing to listen to one of these gun grabber types talk about gun safety and gun laws and restrictions, because they have absolutely zero knowledge at all. They don't know anything about it. They haven't looked up anything. They haven't done any research. They haven't seen gun violence per capita per other countries. Like they have no idea. All they can do is be like, there's not that many school shootings in Australia. And we're not the same country. We don't have the same history. We don't have the same amount of guns in our schools. So the fact that they just clearly skip over the mental health issues and go straight to the tool, it's very frustrating. And it seems like you can't really even have a logical conversation about what's going on because these people are hysterical and hysterical in their beliefs of nonsense.
I agree, man. You can't have a conversation with some of these people. It's very difficult. So let's continue on through this, because again, they're going to continue to frame it as this mass shooting and not the gang violence that this actually was.
That's the narrative. Anytime they can, they're going to push mass shooting because they want to get people afraid of all the guns. Because they want to say, because that's the thing. It's not about violence or gun violence or whatever. It's all mass shootings. Other countries don't have mass shootings. That's the push. We got to have gun control. Other countries have gun control. And because they have gun control, they don't have mass shootings. So that's the push.
After 11:30 last night when it happened, according to police, there was a fight which escalated into a shooting involving multiple shooters. We have team coverage tonight. Action News reporter Katie Catro spoke with victims and witnesses. Jacqueline Lee has a reaction from city leaders. But we begin with Annie McCormick with a look at what happened and possible early warning signs before last night's violence.
Early warning signs? Again, the guys run up on each other. What do you mean early warnings? Is that like, again, they're framing.
They want to push more red flag type legislation.
Insane.
Barricades are up behind me, and there still remains a police presence after they shut down South Street from Front to Broad around 8 p.m. on Sunday. It will remain closed until 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday. This is all in direct response to that mass shooting that took place Saturday night. New surveillance video shows gunfire between two armed men on South Street. Just moments before the shots were fired, the two men argued. The man in the black T-shirt, according to sources, was critically injured. The man in the white T-shirt, identified by police sources as 34-year-old Gregory Jackson, died. The two other homicide victims were innocent bystanders, according to sources. In total, 14 people were shot just after 11:30 Saturday night by 2nd and South Streets. The victims range in ages from 17 to 69. A police officer also fired at one alleged shooter.
So there you go. You got three people shooting guns. That is not a mass shooting. You see what happens. That's like a gang fight that explodes into, it drives me nuts. You know, none of those guns other than the one with the police officer were legal, John, right?
Yeah. 100%. Officer Drew. Oh my God. They need more gun laws. They need that. They didn't gun law hard enough. Like, gun laws and communism, biggest lies ever told.
This weapon and fired several times in the direction of the unknown male. We believe striking him. The unknown male dropped his handgun on the sidewalk and ran.
Police believe there may have been four shooters.
There's five different guns.
Four shooters.
We recovered two. So there's three guns that we still need to find and compare.
Philadelphia police confirmed they received intel of potential problems on South Street and several other areas of the city by monitoring social media. Mayor Jim Kenney told Action News there were 70 police officers in the immediate vicinity, but at 8 p.m. the crowd swelled, and we asked officials what actions did police take to disperse the crowd prior to the deadly shooting.
Well, we do keep the crowds moving, but at the same time, you know, we have to be cognizant of people's rights to come down there and to walk around. So it's,
what kind of fucking question is that? Am I the only one's like, what, how are they framing this? Like, there's four gunmen possibly and a police officer that fire. We're lucky more people aren't dead. This isn't a mass shooting. This is gang violence in Philadelphia on the main entertainment track. I love South Street. It's fun place to be, actually. You know, this is tragic, but they're also framing it, John, which I don't like, is what they're going to surveil you. Oh, isn't that right?
You know, look at your social media. We're going to follow you. We're going to look at everything.
We're going to make laws in New York
to keep you safe,
to keep you safe. Man, do I have the Palantir stuff? Yeah. And again, Palantir at Bilderberg. I wanted to mention Palantir again, because they're so important. Meeting with Zelensky. This is a global deal. I want everybody to understand this. They want to track, trace, and database everybody and work us all into this.
So I'm at a point, like, I won't give my name or address or phone number to any, like, the deals at any of the stores or anything. Buy one, get one free. Just give us your email. Like, nope, I was never here. Paying cash. Put my hoodie up.
So I want to move into, unfortunately, another dark topic, and this is where we're going to probably transition shortly after we get to the Pizza Hut story.
Yeah. Can't tell the truth about Disney.
Well, let's just say this. First of all, this says a lot about the justice system and how disturbing it is. So you got a 52-year-old man, an actor, over at the Disney Channel. Just so weird. All these people working for Disney inside and outside of the entertainment industry.
What a coincidence.
Have a thing for little kids. All right. Now, this man has been convicted of what? Trying to entice a 13-year-old into sex in 2018. He's going to get 2 years in prison, which means he probably won't serve, I don't know, 18 months max. A former Disney Channel actor will spend 2 years in federal prison for allegedly enticing a minor. I guess he did do it. Yikes. He actually succeeded. This is disgusting. Ugh. So this is crazy. Stoney Westermold communicated with an undercover officer on the app. Okay. Grindr, and was arrested in 2018 after trying to meet. Oh, good. Who was posing as a 13-year-old teenager. And by the way, the 607 crew back by my hometown has been doing amazing work and getting national attention on it. And they should. A lot of these demons are everywhere, but many of them purposely put them in situations with children. Okay. Mm-hmm. And And to continue with that, you know, we're going to talk about Alex Stein and all the things he did over in Dallas. And I know you did the "it doesn't lick itself" post. It's just ridiculous that anybody thinks that that's okay. But I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was a part of the Pizza Hut book program. Were you, John?
Yes, I was. You used to get your own little mini pizza. It was awesome.
First of all, there's a lot of things that I loved about
that. That was a big family night out for us. Was we'd go to Pizza Hut, you get the free salad bar, you know. And I didn't even really like Pizza Hut pizza that much. I didn't like pan pizza, you know. But like, it was still good, and the experience was a fun night. Mm-hmm.
This is how I look at it, right? There were a lot of elements to that. Now, I wasn't a rich kid, so for me, the Pizza Hut pizza thing, that wasn't even the night out. That was literally, you got the thing to go and you had achieved something. You read the books, you did the report, you got the stars, and you got the little certificate. So it was also a sense of achievement for something that I did on my own that I didn't necessarily have to do, right? It wasn't something that was demanded of me as homework. It got me into reading and actually, you know, think, because there were choices too on what
read. I'm competitive. So like, you got the sticker, you got the thing, and then you win the prize. So I'm like, all right, let's do this, man.
Exactly. It taught competition. It caught a personal responsibility. It was giving you the choice. You didn't have to do it, but there was, you know, something in it for you on top of that. And like I said, there was a sense of achievement afterwards, right? You don't promote to 5-year-olds the Big Wig book with little boys dressed in jewelry and wigs and makeup. I don't want little girls. Quite frankly, the toddlers and tiaras things always grossed me out altogether. Yeah. But this is not the type of thing that I want to see.
It's grooming. Like, small kids do not need sexuality put on them. They do not need to be introduced to it. There is no reason for it at all. You know, I've got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. They don't go into this. They don't care. It's not an interest to them. They're not developed enough to care. They're too busy playing and doing little boy stuff. They don't care about genitals and who's dating who. Like, when there's a show and it's two straight people kissing or two gay people kissing or two anybody kissing, it's gross. They don't want to see it. They don't want it in their show. They don't want anything to do with it. Like, when they write in a boyfriend, girlfriend type thing to little kids in a little kid's show, or the kids are attracted to each other, the boys hate it. They don't want to see anything about it. They want to get back to their action or their stories or whatever. There's no reason for it. The only reason to talk to a kid that young about sex is to groom them. That way it's easier for you to fuck them, period. Or someone else like you. It's gross. Stop it. Like,
John,
I wouldn't have known. Okay. So definitively, without being around kids so much, without being around my kids so much, like, it's not a normal thing for them to be sexualized or be around sex stuff at like 10, 11 years old. 12, you got to start being careful, because some hormones are going to start coming in, and there's going to be the bad kids that have had cell phones for 3 or 4 years, and they already know how to access the porn stuff. So that's going to be a challenge. But you're talking a decade, a little bit more, where you don't have to like force this crap on them at all. Like, they don't even ask that many questions about marriages or mommies and daddies or whatever. It doesn't come up. It's not that important to them.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, John. You know, and I have been around, you know, little girls for some time now with my nieces on a daily basis. It's not, and they usually, it's icky. Even then, you know, like you said, even for them, when a boy and a girl, now don't get me wrong, they want to be princesses and be dolled up, but that's more their thing, right? That's what they've been portrayed on in like media, unfortunately. I'd say this, we have a society now where they are pushing sexuality and certain lifestyles more and more on children. I think what Alex Stein did was incredible. We're going to talk about that. On the other side, there's another story that we can't talk about here, which I want to show everybody just quickly. I'm going to show it in the background. I'm not going to say anything, but Israel National News, it's How about that? I don't want to say anything else because we can't. That's all we're gonna do. So no, YouTube
taken down on all the platforms.
Yeah, I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to even say it, mention it. I'm just saying we're gonna cover that story. Rockfin.com is where. Yeah,
I sent you in the in our Twitter comms the a couple photos for memes that I posted that have got me banned. Not banned, but I'm put on restrictions. I'm put on restrictions on Instagram because of those two. I was spreading false information. So they put me on a 90-day restriction punishment. So like nobody sees my stories. Nobody sees any of my posts. So like, yeah, I've been flatlined with growth for a while and nobody's watching my stories now, even though they're hilarious. But yeah, if you see those two pictures, you'll see the absurdity at which they are like trying to punish people.
Well, I've seen the pictures and we can't do it on YouTube, guys, but we will show you John's pictures on the flip side over here. So where can you go? Well, you can also go and you won't be able to see us, but we are live right now on Podbean as well. You can call in. We're probably going to take callers maybe in the last 10 minutes of the show. We are rumbling. We're rumbling. And you can buy me a coffee, by the way. All the documentary films are free. And there's one more thing I wanted to leave you all with before we go. YouTube, you get to see this too. It's, you know, they have something called Jubilee for the weird royals, John, that's been going on over the weekend. You know, that was what the big media, especially in Europe, was reporting on. It wasn't the great work that Charlie Skelton did or Bilderberg or anything like that. And they actually have, well, I'm just going to show it to you. You try to figure it out, folks.
We hear, Dan the Mull, the comments of Her Majesty in the address to the nation she made at the end of her coronation. We can see inside the carriage a representation of the Queen as she came back from her coronation wearing the imperial state crown and holding the scepter and the orb, waving to those
who
are on either side.
So it's not a representation. It's not her.
It's a hologram that's been created especially, Joanna. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Fantastic.
Fantastic! White,
which makes it even more sort of eerily thrilling in a funny way. And to think that the Queen, maybe at Windsor still, is sitting and seeing that.
King has
and
no
she
clothes.
She was 27 at the time.
She had to stare at an empty box.
Everybody's sitting there staring at a box that is empty.
Empty box.
And it's a hologram. So if you want to get out of the virtual reality.
All paid for with money stolen from them by a bunch of people, a bunch of lying, bloodthirsty people who lied and said they were put there by God.
You're not wrong, Fitch. You're not wrong, Fitch. So, guys, we're going to leave YouTube right now. Come on over to Rockfin, Rumble, or one of the other platforms, or call in on Podbean. We'll see you, YouTube. Okay, hopefully we won't get in trouble for that episode. I'm just going to go, Fitch, to your Twitter, because I'm pretty sure you have it up there. First of all, I don't care about... Oh, there's my man. Here they are, folks. These are what Fitch is getting in trouble for. I mean, it's a pretty simple meme. How dare you? You know,
the people who are $30 trillion in debt are giving you a credit score. And they fact checked me and said, actually,
I mean,
drove that up, have nothing to do. Politicians don't give you a credit score. Yeah, but the banking system, it's all oligarchs. They're all tied in together.
And this one
and that one, they tried to say that photo, those were photos were altered. And that's why it was fake. But those photos, they're not altered. They're just they're unflattering photos of ugly people.
I mean, Fitch, you know, what are we going
to
do?
But that the lengths that they're going to try to silence people, like they're ramping everything up because election cycle. Like the fact that I can't even make those little jokes to my people following me, that they have to put me on restrictions to make sure nobody else sees any of my posts. It's insanity. It's crazy.
So, again, you know, drag the kids to Pride. And by the way, I went to Target yesterday, and right in the front, it's all just like gay couples in pictures for the month with the rainbow symbol as they sell you clothes and whatever.
Burger King ad out today. You can be double tops or double bottoms.
And again, it says
and
it's put, not.
And they're putting two buns of whatever on the. It's just.
It's and I mean, these are little small children. Top. Okay, there's videos of this. It's a lot worse and more graphic. And these are like strip shows. And they're putting the.
Yeah, that's 100% ridiculous. But again, the parents took them there. The parents made a conscious decision to be like, I think this is a good thing. So, man.
It's man, pretty unbelievable.
Those kids grow up and they're shooting people. We're going to need something.
And
something needs that.
I don't know if you've seen this yet, John. What you're looking at is number one, number two, and number three in the women's biking event here. I think it's the Thundercat 6. The two women here are actually trans women. They're born biological men. And they decided that's one and two. That they were going to kiss each other for Pride Month right there after, again, the two biological men beat the woman who held her daughter and had to come in third. How you like that? That's a good message, right, for women and women's rights. What do you think?
It's just, man.
I mean, how do people feel about
all
that?
The women that are transitioning into men in the men's sports? How come there are none? Do we have any? Is there any single one female to male competing in male sports? Even like bowling or something? Chess?
It's a valid question
anything?
To ask.
Anything at all?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So I had a couple other bizarre stories, other than, you know, the Israeli story we're going to get to, where it turns out that the jab might not give you any immunity whatsoever, especially not long-term immunity.
And then makes it harder for you to like, yeah, it's just.
So I wanted to get this guy is a retired cop, supposedly from New York City, NYPD. He gets caught in D.C. with a BB gun, high-capacity magazines, ammo, body armor, and a fake badge saying he's Interpol. Okay, this is the guy right here. I have no idea what's that?
Steve Harvey?
Yeah, he looks very Harvey-esque. I wanted to just go over this quickly because it does seem rather odd. And I'm not sure whether this guy was a private investigator, an op, a crazy person, maybe doing some privatized work. I don't know. I have no idea.
He's slightly crazy, but mostly probably a grifter.
More than likely, but what's he doing in D.C.?
Probably to get some money from people to do some kind of work for him on the side. Fake A-team.
That is certainly
a
possibility.
What a great sitcom that could be.
So, here we go. COVID vaccines may impair long-term immunity to the virus. Research suggests the vaccination against COVID via mRNA vaccines may reduce the body's ability to produce key types of antibody. Now, I told you from the very beginning, these boosters were forever, that it didn't stop what? Transmission. It didn't stop infection. And they tried to tell you it lowered your chances of severe hospitalization, severe sickness, or death. And there was no evidence of that either. And now, okay, this study right here, we'll click on it so everybody can go to it. And, you know, it's a real thing. Jason, but, you know, you can say it's medical misinformation all you want. You know, British Medical Journal, Yale, Cold Springs Harbor Laboratory, no big deal. No big deal. Huh. Yeah, and you notice that only Israeli media is reporting on this, and it's not all over
it's
the place.
It's crazy that you can't. You can take actual statistical information, post it out there, and they'll ban you for it. It's man, it's so bizarre.
You know, and
it's not bizarre. We know exactly what's going on.
We do.
It's just we never thought we would actually live through this.
Yeah. Even in the beginning of this, you're right. Like when we got to the end of it, I didn't think that you'd just be able to Instaban anything that goes against the narrative, no matter how rock solid. Like, you can't put that anywhere. That's going to get a fact check if it's not just ripped down. And then it's going to be its reach is going to be minimized as much as possible.
And then, they'll put out some kind of like false bullshit talking about how it's discredited. But like in putting out the thing that says it's discredited, they won't put any wordage in there that actually discredits it. They'll talk around it, but the headline's all they need, right? Because somebody will read that headline and be like, oh, that thing was debunked. And then that's all. That's all the information they needed. Case closed.
Well, they'll say, you know what they'll say on this? Just like they said on the last one, remember the Pfizer dump that showed all these problems with pregnant women and fertility? They'll say, well, you know, this is just from July 2020 to March 2021. That's over a year ago. That information's outdated.
The science has changed.
The science has changed.
It's just they've got all the talking points worked out.
It's wild, but it's exactly what they're doing throughout this whole COVID 1984 nightmare. I was at a comedy club. Well, it was inside one of the casinos here, right? And Tom Papa was in town. And there was this guy in the front row that had a walker. And, you know, he was doing his bit and asking, you know, there wasn't a lot of people there and, you know, doing his thing with the crowd. And he asked him, you know, how long have you been on the walker? This guy looked old, bro. Really old, right? And he's like, no, I just got on it. He ended up only being 68. And he goes into this story, of course, how he was like vaxxed, probably double or triple vaxxed, by the way. And then he still got COVID. He did 6 months in the hospital and 2 months on a ventilator. And they told him, John, that if he hadn't got the shot, he probably would have died. And when Papa asked him who he got it from, he's like, well, my wife got it. And we think that she got it from a neighbor's family member that flew down there. It's like no, you fucking people took shots of poison. Okay. Which then actually gave it to you. Okay. Shots of poison that then lowered your immunity to the worst effects of it. And then you got fucking hospitalized and somehow, some way you were spared your life. But it looks like you aged 10 to 15 fucking years, dude. And now you can't walk and you can barely breathe. And you might take another shot. This is insanity.
It would have been worse if I didn't take the shot.
It's mixed martial mindset, folks. So we're going to talk a little bit of the mixed martial arts. Volkov looked great. Really took a couple shots on the chin, bro.
he did. He caught some clean, at least two clean shots, kept coming forward, kept the pressure up. He's good, man. He's a big guy. You know, he's coming off that loss to Aspinall, but he's got a lot of good wins. He's one of those guys, man. He really needs to string together like four big wins. And then maybe make a push for the title. But he gets up there and he loses. You know, he doesn't get dominated, but he loses. He got tired with
Aspinall dominated him. Aspinall dominated him. Yeah. You know what? I thought, honestly, before he got knocked out by Derek Lewis, had he beat Derek Lewis and he was winning that fight, that was another grueling fight. He could have been the next champ.
He could have rode that arc too. You know, big fights.
But yes.
Slipped. Got Happens. Tired. Punched himself out.
I only watched the main card. You know, Ige takes a beating from Mosvar Evlov.
Yeah, but the problem with Evlov is he is going to have to, because of the way shit works now, he's got to up the excitement. He's got to accept the excitement. You know, out grappling the guys to a decision. He's not going to get the push, you know. He's just not going to get to where he wants to be, and they'll find a way to get him beat or work him out of the system. But yeah, he's got to up it. He's got to get the finishes in there. There's also the Minifield. That was a good fight.
Yes, he looked great.
He looked awesome at light heavyweight.
And let me say this.
Some solid elbows from that position.
From what position? The position I always talk about and I say is underutilized, the crucifix. He got him in that crucifix. He trapped him. John Jones used to do it classic style. I think that that is such an underutilized position, especially those elbows. If you can trap those things and land 3, 4, maybe 5 solid ones, there's not a lot of people that could take those shots.
It's a good position. Landing elbows from a good position and with a lot of violence can end a lot of fights. The O'Day lightweight fight was also good. He had a good performance, but yeah, those were the notable fights, I think, from Saturday.
And we got pay-per-view coming up, Teixeira versus Prochazka.
Old man Glover, man.
I hope he wins, man, but I think
I want him to win the next couple. I think Jiri, like, his ground isn't very good, so I think Glover could take him down, ground and pound him out. But yeah, you know, I'd love to see him finish on top. He talked about fighting just this year, 2 more times this year, and then being done.
And he wants the rematch with Jan, which I like. I like that fight, but there's not a lot of meat on this bone. You know, Shevchenko 7-1 against Santos and should be. I like the Zhang Wei Li Joanna fight, but everything else is a fight night card. You know what I'm saying? So
we have Andre Fowlow. This is like the time he's fought in a short period of time.
And I like Jake Matthews too. He's been around.
He trained AK for a little bit years ago. He's moved on from that from there, but he's been having some good performances lately. He's got a lot of good power. He lands good punches, and the guys go to sleep.
Fitch, it's that time again. Why don't you tell people where they can find you, how they can support you? Tell them about John Fitch Knows Nothing. And yeah. I hope that you took that kangaroo video and did a Learn to Fight on it. If you didn't, you're missing the pure gold.
Haven't had a chance. I did a Learn to Fight. It's on YouTube today. It's on Rockfin. I put it up on Friday. But I'm covering the... There was a fight in the airport. There was a man and a gentleman that worked for the airport, got into a scrap. And it was one of those things where I saw the fight earlier in the week and was like totally rooting against the airline pilot, not pilot, but worker. But you see that they edited the video and they didn't show the full thing.
I saw it. So I did the same thing.
There's the edited version where the guy walks up and slaps the guy in the face and you're like, oh, what a dick. And he deserved getting beat up. But that was edited to make the guy look worse than he was. And not saying that it was good. He should have stayed in his position, should have stayed behind the counter the whole time. But he came out from under the counter and the guy started putting hands on him and trying to hit him, slapped him first, started punching him. And then the guy came back up and slapped him. So I covered that one. You can see in there, you know, how to avoid the fight. Don't be walking into it. But yeah, go to johnfitch.net, sign up for the newsletter. I got another newsletter come out shortly. I've got a sale for my Gumroad products. And then I'm working on Fitch Smash Strength, my strength program. So that should be up in, I hope, a week. I just got the videos and stuff done. I got to write this stuff out.
All the films are free. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, and New World Order Defined and Shade the Motion Picture. The last two, the former, talk about Bilderberg in some length and give you a lot of context about we led with the show. You can buy me a coffee, 5, 10, 15 bucks. It means the world to me. That's how we're doing it right now. We rumbling. We're on Podbean. You get the audio version. Hey, we're streaming live. Nobody called in, guys. You had the opportunity to call in. And you didn't do it, but you could have. And then, of course, Rockfin, $9.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. You subscribe to me, John, Max Blumenthal, who went down to D.C. and covered what he could have Bilderberg. Guess what? You get all of us, and it helps support this network, which is really a Netflix for creators. We're still on YouTube. We're surviving there because we need people to watch the cat videos, but we're fully demonetized and we're completely marginalized. So consider checking out the other platforms. Fitch, a pleasure as always. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Take you guys later.
See everybody on the flip side.